Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Pridecast with Jonathan Bennett
and James Vaughn
on iHeartRadio.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's Jonathan Bennett. Welcome to a new episode of Pridecast on iHeartRadio. I'm joined by James Vaughn, my husband. Hello, baby.
That's all the intro I get this week? Wait a minute.
My hot,
I'm used
hunky,
to the long ones.
Okay, my hot, hunky, happy I married him sometimes husband, James Vaughn.
Happy
hello,
you married
baby.
Him all the time. Don't
all
get it twisted,
time.
Baby.
Babe, you're in the car doing this episode. I'm at the Pridecast studio, which really is just our second best bedroom. So don't everyone, when you see us like with the big wall, I just want to pull the rope away and let everyone know.
I think they
it's
know,
just,
baby. I think they
it's
know.
It's just our guest bedroom.
You can
That's
see
all
the light switch.
You
in
can
the
see
video
the light switch. It's okay. It's okay. And James had an anxiety attack about that light switch that if people were to see it, they would know that we were in our bedroom. So
no,
I just,
aesthetically,
I
don't like
the
look
eyes.
Of it. I want the aesthetic to
I
be
pulled the wall
consistent.
Off the eyes, guys.
It's our bedroom. Baby, they know that. I just
okay,
like a nice,
fine.
Clean aesthetic. You
he
know
does
the
like
gay,
a nice, clean aesthetic.
The gay in me needs symmetry. It needs a clean aesthetic.
No,
it
I
needs
don't.
Needs everything to be. Jonathan David, oh my gosh, you are such a child. Can we talk about why I'm doing this Pridecast with you? Hang on, I'm in the car right now doing Pridecast as my baby's in the air quote studio because Eureka is our guest today and she's one of my all-time favorite queens.
Yes.
And Jonathan's like, oh, I'll just do Pridecast without you. I know you're busy today. You got a shoot going on. I'm like, oh, no. I will park the car outside the shoot and I will set up. So now I'm sitting in the car. The AC's off, so it'll not be... It'll not make noise, but unfortunately now I'm sweating profusely because the AC's off, but I'm getting this Pridecast done because I did not want to miss this opportunity to talk to Eureka. So now we can talk about Christmas, baby. Let's talk about
it. What'd you get
it.
Me?
I can't tell you because then that'll spoil the surprise.
Okay, let's just tell everyone our honest truth about what we do for gifts. Guys, listen to your Uncle James and Jonathan, okay? Here's our key to Christmas gift giving. Ready? The key to Christmas gift giving is we don't do it. And let me tell you why. Because it's too stressful. So I understand there's the joy of giving, but what James and I have done is decided, what if we just never gave each other gifts? How nice that would be, because every time we're together, it's a gift. Oh my God, that's so cute. Every time we're together, it's a gift. And so we just, years ago, made a decision that we never trade Christmas gifts. So there's no shopping that has to be done. There's no stress. We just like lay around and like do nothing on Christmas. And it's so much fun.
So what do I do with the gift that I got you this year?
You didn't get
baby.
Me one. I know you didn't.
Let me make sure I got the receipt still. Oh, goodness.
You
in
don't.
The car. I can take
first
it. I'm
all,
kidding.
First of
I'm
all,
kidding.
You didn't
I just wanted to make sure we were still doing that. So I had to set it up to be like, wait, we are still doing the no gift
yes,
thing, right?
We do no gifts.
Because we do live a very, very fortunate life, my love. We're so fortunate. And the most fortunate thing that we have is that we found each other. And so there's not really anything that I need beyond
yeah.
that.
Except deodorant sometimes. But that's another story. But I'll get you that. But here's the thing. The thing is, if you are stressed about what you want to get your partner this holiday season, Why don't you ask your partner, be like, hey, I haven't gotten your gift yet. Have you gotten mine yet? And if they say no, be like, what if we just didn't do gifts this year? Because I bet you your partner is thinking the same thing of like, dang it, I don't want to have the stress of this either because it stresses me out. So, hey, you know what? Tell them Uncle James and Johnny sent you. And they said, don't do gifts. Okay.
But do you remember the very first Christmas yes. present I did ever give you?
Yes, it was an Apple Watch.
No, it was not. The very first present I ever gave you was telling you I love you.
Oh, the very first present he ever gave me was
an Apple Watch.
How are you gonna forget that?
That said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. So
that was the way I told you.
That said I loved you. And that's how you told me you love me. But I have my Apple Watch that I wear now to this day. And oh, well, let me look at the time. You know what time it is? It's time to bring on Eureka.
Yeah.
We are so excited to have on Pridecast one of my favorite queens, but not just a queen, a legend, doing the most good for the LGBTQ plus community. It's the one and only Eureka O'Hara.
Well, you found it.
Oh, we found you.
Wait, I want to do the intro because I've been singing this all day.
Hi, everybody.
I want to do, hey, big mama.
Surprise, you're here.
I've been listening to your song on repeat in the car for the past hour because I was like, wait, I haven't heard Eureka's song yet. And I put it on, and you know when you really like a song, so you just have it repeat over and over? So that's what I've been doing. So it is in my head, fresh.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to get off this podcast and put it back on again, just FYI. It's so good, baby. You're going
to
love it.
James is in his car, everybody. So he is trying to make it work, y'all.
Yeah, James is in the car. He's trying to make it work. His audio's crap, but you know what? We love him anyway because he didn't pay for that updated Wi-Fi signal, you know? He was trying to save a buck, so he went with just the good old-fashioned dial-up internet in the car.
I'm recording audio from here, so I'll have good audio here. Don't worry. We can mix
it
in. As long as you can understand me, we're good.
Okay, we can mix it in.
I wasn't going to miss Eureka's episode, so I couldn't get there to be in the studio with you, so I pulled the car over on the side of the road, and I'm doing Pridecast from a safe spot. We are parked safely in a parking lot, but I'm doing Pridecast from the car.
Okay, so now, Eureka, where are you right now?
So I'm in Vegas. Tonight is my first night back for the Drag Race Live show. I'll be here all December. So I'm doing that, you know, just because I wanted to settle a moment and I wanted to be able to like do all the press and show up to everything I needed to for We're Here while it's airing and streaming. So, you know, and I at the end of the year is always kind of slow and it's family time. So I was like, girl, put a big bitch up on a stage with a back piece on.
it really is. And that show, I think we've seen it 10 times and it never gets old. It's just so much fun every time. What's some of your favorite parts about performing in that specific theater? Like there's something magical about it, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite part is just being able to wear my clothes and not have to worry about like ducking through doorways or like walking through a puddle of alcohol or, you know. That's probably my most favorite part. My other is just working with the girls. You know, you don't get to work with the girls very often unless you're touring or doing something like this. So it's just like the camaraderie is really fun. And I especially love the mirror song. I think it's such a sweet moment for all the girls. And like the song's cute. And I don't know. I'm a sappy bitch. So
you are.
Wait, This Is Me is your number in the show, right?
Yeah.
Because we saw Coco do it, which was amazing, because you know Miss Coco, she's a precision lip singer, but I've got to get back because I got to see Eureka do it, because I can't imagine.
I will be a mess. I will be
speaking of being sappy, I'll be the sappy one then.
Well, I did create the number and my costume is everything.
Oh, it is. Not she created the number.
But actually, there's a story behind that, because they had this other like flyaway skirt that was made out of like this parachute material, and I literally looked at Brandon Boss and I was like, I love you. But no. Also, that's how I tell anyone that I don't like something. I always start with like, I love you, but hey, sis, I love you, but no. You know?
Oh my gosh.
So I called Marco, and literally 24 hours later, him and his team like produced this amazing skirt that tears off a stage that covers the entire stage. So it's iconic.
Yeah, I don't want to give too much of it away, but there's a big reveal when that happens too, which is really, really fantastic part of that number. So we are coming back to Vegas to see you in that for sure, because I'm not going to miss even one of my all-time favorites perform on that stage.
Oh, that's so sweet.
James, I love you, but I'm going to start saying that a lot. But we need to talk about We Are Here is what we need to talk about, that is out now on HBO.
Yeah, season 3 of We're Here. That's amazing to see that, like, this show that started in the pandemic has now turned into this truly a global phenomenon. Can you believe it? Is it like, is it real to you yet?
Yeah, I mean, of course I believe it, girl. You know, it's not my first
of course.
Nominated show I've been on. I'm kidding. No, but it's I guess it is hard to believe sometimes, but it's just an incredible show. I'm so blessed that it's getting out there because it's so educational, but also uplifting and really important now more than ever with all the issues that we're having politically, all the issues that we're having socially with equality and things. It just shines light on real stories that people can relate to.
Do you think, actually, what do you think if We're Here had come to Baby Eureka in your hometown, what do you think that experience would have been like for you? And what do you think that would have changed for you in your growth into who you are now?
Yeah, you know, I think it would have definitely, like, just seeing people like growing up would have been nice, not made out to be a farce, right? Like, I mean, you know, the closest thing I ever saw to, like, trans people was, like, Maury Povich, is it a man or a woman? And how toxic is that?
Yeah.
You know? But I was extremely intrigued and wanted to watch it, you know? Because that was the only place I could see people. And I remember seeing Dina Cass, she's a legendary drag queen, on Jerry Springer. And it's like, you know, and it's so that's where we saw, like, our community was in these, like, really hysteria, comically driven, farce-typed positions and constantly being made fun of in the entertainment industry on TV shows, things like that. So it would have been amazing to see myself, like, portrayed on TV in a positive way.
Well, because you're doing that for somebody right now, which is the cool thing. We always talk about this on Pridecast, is that, like, we're in this really cool time in history where we're getting to do it for our younger selves. So there's somebody that's going to miss all those hiccups and all that trauma you went through just because they're getting to see Eureka on their TVs. That's
well, I don't know if they'll miss them all, but it'll probably be a little easier. You know? You kind of got to go through the shit to get through to the glory of being who you are, you know?
The only way out is through, huh?
Yeah. So that's my advice normally to people is, like, be patient with the situation. Continue learning how to be your authentic self, because that's when you start attracting people that are like you or that are truly accepting and loving for who you are naturally, you know?
Yeah. It's so interesting, too, what you said about how the only time you saw people that looked like you on screen, most of the time it was like, no, they were. It was like a farce situation where, you know, it was a gimmick almost to like for people to laugh at. And I identify with that so much because it being a gay actor, even just like the actors that I would see that looked like what I wanted to be doing, no one was ever like grounded in reality.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it wasn't real. So I really, really, that really hits home when you say that. I identify with that so much. And I think we've come so far from the shows we watched growing up and the movies we saw to where we are now. Like, I look at what's on there on TV right now. It's just amazing.
Well, it is amazing, but also the entertainment industry is still a little, you know, developing. I think it's still pushing the boundaries of equality as far as like learning how to, I think also the audience too is learning how to accept different people in different roles. I mean, even when, I mean, not to like ask you this, but I'm curious, I know you're interviewing me, but like even you coming out as gay, like how did it affect your acting career? You know, sometimes it can be very effective.
Yeah.
You know, it pigeonholed us.
Yes, absolutely. And for me, it was, there was a, I was out to my friends and family, but I wasn't like out publicly. And it wasn't until I met James and fell in love and knew this is the person I was want to be. And I was still in the closet. Like I did TV shows and like press and big things that were reality based where I still wouldn't tell anyone that I was gay. And it wasn't until I met James and fell in love that I realized, like, I was sitting there and I was like, I don't want to be the 30-year-old guy, like closeted actor that was like a teen heartthrob that's still in the closet trying to chase this like idea that if, you know, or still living in this fear that if you come out and everyone knows that you're gay, you're going to lose all your jobs. You're never going to be a leading man. You're not going to get the leads of these shows. Like all those fears went through you. Like if they find out who you are, they're going to take everything away from you.
Right.
And I was so nervous. But then when I fell in love and was just like at a point where it's like, I don't care if they take it all away from me. I don't want to be that guy. Cause that's just, I'm sad for him. Like I was sad for myself. It's like, no, that's not cute. So I did it, and exactly the opposite of what I thought was going to happen happened.
Yeah.
I flourished, and because people saw me for me. And when people see the real you and the authentic you, that's when they're attracted to you. That's when the bookings come in. That's when the jobs come in. And here I am in the holiday sitter airing on Hallmark Channel where this Christmas, where it's two gay men that are the leads of a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yay!
Like that's what a leading man looks like. You know what I mean? And leading man, for this movie, you know, and it changes for every movie what a leading man or woman or whatever the leads want to be can be whatever they want. There are no rules. And it's so, I think it's changing so much, and it's still not all the way there yet, obviously, but it's, I mean, can you imagine like the little 16-year-old, 17-year-old kids that are like figuring out who they are and they're scared and they're sitting in their living rooms with their parents watching these Christmas movies with their mom and dad or whoever. And this movie comes on and it's a movie filled with love and family. And it's so heartwarming and funny. And they're just able to see themselves, like how less scared they're going to be that Christmas.
Yeah.
It's great.
I mean, and it's also just seeing their parents watch a movie like that makes you feel so, you know, that's the accepting part. That's the part where you feel comfortable. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think that we are moving in a positive direction. And that's another like pinpoint on that thing I was saying, like the more authentic you start being yourself, the more you attract those people that want to work with you, that want to be around you. So it's interesting. I love to hear that, you know, that you're leading in a movie this Christmas. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I'll have to watch. It sounds so exciting.
Oh, don't think I'm not going to DM you to put it on your story.
Oh,
I'm
going to like on my story.
Trust. We need
we need those ratings up because there, you know, there's so many people out there that are fighting to like boycott the network. Don't watch.
Wow. Nah, nah.
So we really need the LGBTQ plus family to rally behind, you know?
Yeah.
So, which they will.
And that's the problem with the entertainment industry. It is the audience that we're fighting. You know, now it's not the opportunities. It's like the audience pushback. And that's really where we're having issues socially, which is being driven by these politicians, I feel, that are, you know, one, allowing people to feel comfort in speaking out about their discrimination because they see someone in a position of power being able to do it. So then it validates them in how they feel and them expressing it. So it's just causing issues for us. I mean, we just had another tragic incident in Colorado. Like Colorado Springs, at what point will enough be enough where politicians or someone's going to take notice that it's affecting us and it's hurting people that we love and it's killing people, you know, but it's also like pushing people to do really intense and violent things. It's just wild to me.
It's truly sad. And it all comes from ignorance when you get to the root of it. It's just ignorance. It's people not expanding their horizons and learning that just because somebody doesn't look like you or talk like you or act like you doesn't mean that you shouldn't get to know them. Like, I think that's when the people that are the most unlike me are kind of the people I love having around the most. Those are the people I feel like I learn the most from. And it's so sad that, like, I think us as queer people, we figure that out pretty soon. But it seems like these other people that aren't as fabulous as us don't get to figure that out so quick. And it's just sad because it does just create division and a lot of negative outcomes. So thank you for speaking out on that, Eureka. I see that you're doing it a lot of places. It's not just here, but I've been reading a lot of your interviews. I keep up. I am a fan. And so
thank
I
you.
See all the stuff you say.
I always have something to say.
But it's always so good. Speaking of those interviews, though, Eureka, there was one, I think it was in, I read it, it was in Them. Where you told a little bit of your backstory. And I think us sharing our stories is so important because there's somebody that will always identify with a part of your story and it will help them to hopefully do it better, right? Do it differently, but hopefully better. I say better than mine. I say, let me be your cautionary tale. Don't make my mistakes. Let me tell you about them. Okay. And you talk about the time when you were in Tennessee earlier on. What was that time like for you? Because that really touched me to read that part of your interview.
I mean, it was hard, you know, it was very negative. It was scary. It was traumatizing. It was abusive. You know, I lived as an open trans person. trans woman for 4 years there, went to college. You know, I went through a lot of really horrible things to where it put me in a fearful place where I detransitioned. I like retransitioned to give myself this like opportunity to be a queer man. And then I got on Drag Race. I moved to LA. I found non-binary, you know, so that's when I finally started exploring this comfort of like gender gray area and kind of came content with like non-binary. But yeah, I mean, it was just hard. You know, East Tennessee was a rough place to grow up. My family was, you know, well, my dad's side of the family, because my mother's side of the family is still in Germany. So I didn't really connect with them very much because they're in another country. But my dad's side of the family is like low income. Like, honestly, I'll just say it, like what you experience or picture white trailer trash to look like is my dad's family, whom can be the most judgmental people. You know, so it just wasn't pleasant. You know, but I had my mother and my grandmother, luckily, you know, but school was hard. You know, you have to like learn to pretend to be someone you're not to survive. You know, you learn a lot of survival tactic. I had to, you know, do a lot of things I'm not proud of. You know, I was pushed into sex work as a trans person because I couldn't keep a job because my legal name, you know, it's just a lot of things that happened, but I grew from it, you know, and I found peace moving away from it, you know, which is what, randomly we try to help with and we're here is like, why do we have to always run away from where we're from or the places that we grow up? You know, even though we might love those areas, you know, it still becomes easier for us to run to these bigger cities where we have at least a little nest of public love and acceptance and support. And so anyway, that's another part of it. I mean, I can go on and on, but I, you know, I don't like to talk too much about that part of my life because I did overcome it. But what I do,
that's the lesson here.
Yeah, the lesson is to overcome it. Yeah. And it's like, and now I'm in a position in my life where I am exploring that part of myself again, that femme trans side, where I'm much more comfortable, much more confident with myself, and I'm depleting fear in my life, period. So it's allowing me to push myself more in a direction where I feel more authentic than ever.
I feel so identify with you talking about like how like we run to these big cities, right? And I'd like to choose, what is it you said just now about like not having to run from where you're from? Because that was me. Like I instantly like I singing was my vessel to get out, right? And I was like, the minute I was old enough to go do a show somewhere else and not be at home, I used it to get out. I ran out of Virginia fast as I could. And there is a sadness to that, I think, because it's like, man, like I do feel like I missed out on a lot of stuff of family and friends there, but I didn't feel like I could be me there. Right. And so I ran out and like, I don't know. I feel like that you've just now inspired a little of me to be like, well, let me dig in and see what I missed out on and maybe I can be participating in now. So thank you for saying that.
Well, I think that's what we have to do, you know, and that's something that I did. Once I became more comfortable, I learned how to like, to spend more time in Tennessee with my family, like take the time to explore some of those places that I loved when I was younger, you know, because we do miss out on that. Like there's still that nostalgia, you know, and it feels good to go home, you know, as much as like, I'll always be an LA girl now because I learned how to be an adult in LA, you know, but the little country girl or boy or non-binary creature and always be a little country thing from East Tennessee. Because I can't get rid of this twang completely.
Never do, please. Yeah. I love it. You make mine come out real strong when I talk to you.
I know. So I'm like, oh,
I probably sounded country as hell on this episode.
As
right
soon
now.
As you said Virginia, bitch, you was like, old white from Virginia.
But I love his accent. I think it's so hot. So, babe, just keep talking like that.
Because I've spent so long in this industry trying to turn it off. So, now, what 5 minutes with Eureka and it's back on.
Oh, here it is. Yeah.
Keep talking like that. Wait, Eureka, where? What town in East Tennessee?
So I was born in Bristol, Tennessee. And I grew up in like Bluff City, Bristol, Tennessee area. And then like as an adult, I went to college at East Tennessee State University. So I lived in Johnson City.
Yeah. Do you know Morristown?
I know Morristown very well.
That's where my dad lived for the last part of his life. So I spent a lot of time in Morristown and
Johnny Ingram is from Morristown, Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wait, Johnny's from Morristown? I didn't know that.
Oh, my God.
Small world.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Morristown. And I got to tell you, there is something real beautiful about that area. East Tennessee is gorgeous. Those hills and oof, it hits right sometimes. And I love it. Now, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Eureka O'Hara.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, we're talking everything East Tennessee. We're talking our journeys. We're talking our stories. And, you know, there's something I want to chat with you about. You've been very open about your sobriety journey. And I think it's so inspiring, and I think it's so necessary and needed. What motivated you to publicly share on Twitter that you were in rehab?
Probably the guilt. Ooh. You know, I am like, I'm just a very transparent person with people and my fans. Maybe, and you know, sometimes my managers and my agents and people around me are like, maybe you're a little too transparent. But I have just always found comfort in being honest, even if it hurts me, because I feel like, you know, obviously they say the truth will set you free. And, you know, I up and left in the middle of my residency in Vegas because I was just going through it. I had lost my grandmother over the holiday. I couldn't go home because of COVID. And I just went into a dark place right before I moved to Vegas to do the residency for the first time last year, in February of last year. And I was just drinking too much and I wasn't taking care of myself. And one morning I was like, completely like out of my mind. And I went and I thought, I was like convinced I had broke my back because I was having back spasms, which whatever. I was just being paranoid and crazy. I had like dug my nose too far into a bag and drank God knows how much alcohol that night. And I was driving to the doctor and like I went on Instagram Live and was like acting crazy. I was like, I don't know where I am. You know, I don't, but not very many people caught that. But once I got to the doctor, I was like, he was like, I had a lung infection. I had a UTI. I had, I was dehydrated. Like I was having muscles. Like the doctor was like, how did you drive here? Kind of situation. So I ended up like leaving and I called actually the creators of We're Here. And I was like, I need help. And they're like, what do you mean? We know, we've definitely noticed like something's different lately. You know, you've been like kind of isolated and separated. And I told them everything. And they had one of their friends pick me up the next day and send me off to rehab. And I just, it was the best thing I ever did for myself because I learned through rehab, through therapy, like working out some of my childhood trauma, working out just where I was at mentally in general, but also like learning how to survive and thrive by taking care of myself versus self-medicating. Because it turned out that I had diabetes, which is why I was so slowed down because my sugar was so high and I wasn't taking care of it. So that's what was pushing me to do uppers to keep going. And then I was just drinking because that's what I do. I'm an alcoholic, you know, and I learned about the disease and I learned how to like work around it and work with it. And, you know, that's another way that I started realizing that I wasn't living my authentic self either, was just like through that journey. You learn more than ever, like how fighting against the world is nothing compared to fighting within yourself. Mm. Like when you're fighting within yourself, you can truly destroy yourself and you will destroy everything around you. If you're fighting within yourself, you will destroy everything around you and you. And it's so much easier to fight the rest of the world than to fight within yourself. So that's another reason why I just decided I was going to be honest and I was going to start living more authentically in general, you know, the way I present, my gender expression, working on my gender identity. And, you know, I'm happily 10 months sober and it's trial and error every day, you know, and I have cravings and of course I want to drink with my friends, but I don't need it anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just what I had to learn is like, because for me, if I have one drink turns into a whole bottle. Mm-hmm. And then a whole bottle turns into a whole bag. And then a whole bag turns into a few days in a sex dungeon, probably.
Yep.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's 10 months that has served you well because I have noticed the glow on you. Every single post that you put out, I'm like, she is thriving. Like, you can see it. Mm-hmm. You are literally glowing from the inside. It's a beautiful thing. So know that it is being noticed by everybody else, too. So congratulations.
I know. I can tell, you know, and even in myself, like, that's the thing is, that's what makes it worth it, you know, is once you start feeling better and taking care of yourself, like, I'm medically taking care of myself. I'm self-caring emotionally. You know, I'm going to therapy, like, all these things that you fight when you're self-medicating because you don't want to let go of your addiction is really the promised land in the end.
Mm-hmm. You sharing this story helps so many people feel seen and also be able to say, hey, maybe I also am going through something similar. And so I can't tell you how powerful these words are to so many people listening.
Let me talk about something else inspirational you do.
Let's talk about it.
The body positive queen from day one, elephant queen. She got the track Big Mama out now. Where does that come from? Because it is infectious and it is something that I think even I envy that you have because it is spectacular.
Well, I think it's just learning to love yourself despite the world's opinion of how you're supposed to feel about your image, really, you know? And I think it's just something that took me a really long time to get to. And also some days it's me faking it till I make it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like some days, you know, a guy's opinion will get in my head or, you know, I want to be able to order this, but I can't find it in my size. And I have to remind myself, change that narration. No, bitch, fuck that brand. Honey, that brand ain't nobody. That brand's missing out because you could be wearing and representing. You know, it's just... So it's really, sometimes it's just fake it till you make it too. You know, it's like keep changing that narrative from shitty to positive is really what I try to do.
That's the quote for the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Change that narrative from
Kitty DePasta.
And you have the song Big Mama out, which we talked about, but what inspired this song? Because, you know, it's the new bop that James can't stop listening to.
Well, it's Big Mama, M-A-W-M-A with attitude.
Get him right, Eureka, get him right.
Did I say Big Mama?
Yeah, how dare.
Well, hold on. You say it, James, because you have your accent going right now, and it gets me a little heated. Say it,
Big
again,
Mama.
James.
But it's Big Mama. I don't do it as like W as Eureka hits, because that's Tennessee. Ooh. I do Virginia, but it's Big Mama.
I'm sweating through my teeth are sweating.
You got to scoop into it.
Oh, honey, this is going to turn into a phone.
Hurry home, baby. Hurry home. Here we go.
Okay.
Now you got me sweating in this car, baby. Hang on.
Oh, you got us sweating on the podcast, so keep going. Tell us about the song, how it came about. Where'd you get your inspiration for this one?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just about, I had to find the Big Mama spirit within myself after losing my mother and my grandmother. Mm-hmm. It's very inspired by them, the bigger women in my life. But I wrote it for any and everyone that's a caretaker and loves, you know what I mean? Hard. And that love gets taken advantage of. And it's very easy for that to happen. And that's for anybody. You know, my favorite line is, no matter daddy, auntie, uncle, Big Mama spirit lives in you. Because it's true. You know, that spirit that we're taught from whomever it was that nurtured us and taught us how to love truly and unconditionally lives within every single one of us. And that's where the inspiration came from, was having to like rediscover that spirit within myself after losing those two women for me. And then also just like seeing the people that showed up for me when I needed help. And like, I needed to go to rehab and I needed like support when I came out. And like, it's all those people that showed up for me then too, you know, that I was inspired by. So, and then I love Katie Caden and Sarah Potenza because they're very powerful female singers.
Them vocals, yes.
Their vocals are incredible. They're also cisgendered allies, which I think is really important. And I'm really wanting to help push and promote more positive female interaction with queer people and drag queens in general. And, you know, so it's just another opportunity to do that as well, because I love them so much. And I literally remember calling Katie and being like, Katie, I have this idea for a song called Big Mama, and I'm literally not doing it unless you and Sarah are on it with me. So y'all figure it the f- out and we'll make it happen.
Baby, let's take another quick break, because there's some more stuff I want to ask that you know what I'm going to dive into next. Let's take a break and come right back.
All right.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step, and you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're still here. We're still queer, and we're still talking to Eureka O'Hara here on Broadcast. James, what do you want to ask?
Well, you know, we've covered that We're Here is out now on HBO, so make sure you watch it. We have covered Big Mama. We have covered some of the inspirational story of how we got to where we are, which I love. But because I am the world's biggest RuPaul's Drag Race fan, and
number I know one,
every fact
in
and
the world.
Figure from everything.
Okay.
And I've been a Eureka fan since day one, and was so thrilled when she came back, and was so thrilled when she came back again. Because that All-Stars ending, I feel, could have gone a multitude of ways. Obviously, because of a personal friend win, and I feel very good about it. But I would love to see a Eureka win, too. So is there ever a world where maybe we get, like, some type of, like, battle of the All-Stars that Eureka would come back? Or is that chapter done?
I don't know. You know, I don't know, girl.
It's a lot, right? Because you want to, but you don't.
And I've done it several times at this point, and it's like... You know, I don't need a crown, girl. I'm building a castle with the stone.
Hey.
You know, it's like, I don't need a crown anymore. You know, I love doing the show. I love the show. It's my favorite TV show besides We're Here, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I might would do like a US versus the world or something for fun. Mm. You know, I don't know. It just depends on where I'm at when they call.
Yeah.
You know, but it's also really hard to say no to RuPaul. So it's like... You know, when mama calls sometimes.
When you're like, good to mama.
Right.
Yes. Good to you.
Time would be a charm. I don't know, girl.
It's so fun to watch you compete because you are so good at so many facets of the show. That's why it's so fun to watch you. That's the only reason I ask. I don't think you need a crown. You got a crown onto me at all times anyway. You are the queen, baby.
That invisible crown.
He's like the number one Drag Race fan. I'm probably number two, to the point like when we go see the Vegas show, RuPaul's Drag Race Live in Vegas, go
we're
see Eureka in it now, like it's almost to the point where like, okay guys, like what, can we come backstage? You're like, maybe you just take a picture out front, and we're like, but maybe we can go look at the costumes and we can see the set too, and they're like, why don't we just take a photo in the front with all the girls? And I'm like,
now,
okay.
Mind you, the girls are always very nice when they're there.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
always welcome. And Cameron gave us a whole tutorial on about how we need to cover our shoulders if we ever do drag so we can look mm-hmm. more feminine.
Cameron
so
like, Turner, the dancer.
Cameron, no. Not, no. Cameron, I'm talking about Cameron Michaels. You're talking about Cameron
Michaels.
Turner. Cameron Turner's part of the pit crew.
Right.
Cameron Michaels in the show. A lot of yes. Cameron's gets very confusing. Yeah. Although I feel like Cameron Turner could also show us how to demasculinize our shoulders also.
I feel like she's done drag.
Hey, right, right. But that
and
figure,
David,
she better.
David is the most, and I love him.
Oh, hilarious.
It just out of his gourd, and it's hilarious.
So
I'm like, what? I never know what he's going to post on Instagram. Like every time he posts something, I'm like, they're on it.
on it.
Now, we're doing Pridecast. This is what we're the show we're on right now, currently, as we speak
yeah,
here
in these
Zooms. So do you remember your first Pride? Like going to your first Pride parade or Pride festival?
Yeah, actually.
Where was it?
I was booked for Roanoke Pride in Roanoke, Virginia.
Good old Roanoke
Baby,
Pride.
Baby, I know the Roanoke Pride.
Uh-huh. And I was booked with, and randomly Alyssa and Shangela were booked. This was like right before I made it on Drag Race, like the year before probably, or a couple years before. I don't know. It was like 2 years before. But I just remember being so emotional about it. Like I was just like, wow. This is so special, you know, like I've never seen anything like it in my whole life because in East Tennessee where I'm from, like they just had their first Pride like 2 years ago, you know? So it was like, it was impressive. I don't know how to describe it other than that. I was just impressed. I was like,
oh my God. Perform at your first Pride. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's a pretty unique experience.
Yeah.
Do you remember what you did?
I did this like Lady Gaga mix in this back piece that I made myself. And it was like makeshift, like hot glued, huge, big thing, hot glued over like cardboard and wire. I thought I was the only one. And now looking back on it, I look a little frosy. But you couldn't tell me then I wasn't twirling the house.
You couldn't tell me nothing.
I mean, I was doing splits and stuff on the concrete, probably regretting that now with my hips and shit. I'm like, oh, God. She was going off back then, honey.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that I wish I was there to see it. Someone, if anyone's watching and they have video, DM it to me. Someone's got it out there.
Who got the tape? Send me the tape.
Send me the receipts. Send me the receipts. So this is Pridecast, and I want to know, what does pride mean to you? Because it means something different to everyone.
Oh, what does pride mean to me? Pride. You know, I think pride means something different to me every day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Weirdly, I'm just a very complex person. And I don't want to just say like pride means, you know, accepting and coming together, but every day it means something different. It's just something that I'm proud of. And sometimes it's like just me being proud to have survived my chaotic mind that day, mm-hmm. or being proud of being sober that day, or being proud of a friend, or proud of a coworker, or proud that like I have a roof over my head. Like I've lived homeless, you know, I've lived low income. I've lived in so many facets. And I remember not having drag. I remember, you know, makeshifting wigs to make them look cool and huge. And now I have a wall of beautiful, gorgeous wigs and drawers of jewelry. And so it's like, I'm just proud about so many things. I don't know. I'm so bad at answering these questions because I'm like, let me give you a 6-part answer.
No, it's perfect.
It's different for everybody, baby. And it changes. It evolves. Your pride evolves constantly. So this is what it means now. It'll probably mean something 6 months from now that's totally different. And that's the beautiful thing about it.
I mean, I think my pride definitely represents like what I'm doing and we're here right now for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, the work that I put in is like, so like I put a lot of hard work into it. All of us did. And I'm just excited every Friday that when people get to see it, because I just know how much work we put into every episode. And it's a lot, you know, but it's paying off, which is really exciting.
It must be so tough when you finish that transformation on We're Here and then the camera's cut off and you got to actually say bye. What do you leave your little drag babies with when you go? Do you have a moment off camera when you're done?
Oh yeah. You know, I always, you know, I still connect with a lot of them. Like we talk either on social media or even via text. It just depends on, you know, where they're at with communication, what they need or want. So I definitely take my mothership very serious. But yeah, I mean, you know, the good thing is we leave them with new connections in their community, which is what I think helps them the most.
Yeah.
Whether it's like the other drag daughters or other people that worked with us that live in that area, like they normally find new tribes and confidence, which is what we hope for, you know, and we don't fix anything. We just help shine light on like more people that are supportive, hopefully a new safe space, you know, and also lead them with a little bit of like, let me rub off a little of this drag confidence on you and take what you learned in this experience with you, use it in your everyday life, you know?
Yep. Yeah. It's teach a man to fish. You know, that's what you're doing is that. And speaking of drag daughters, Anita. Oh.
Anita Rose in Palm Springs. Anita Rose, who is now Anita Rose O'Hara.
Rose O'Hara.
We just saw her perform the other night, and she is so proudly using that O'Hara name.
She is. I love that little crazy bitch.
She's crazy.
She's like, cuckoo.
She's cuckoo. She did a number the other night where she pulled out hay and straw from her shirt, and I was on the floor. Like, I don't know. Like, and what I love is that she tries to be dumber and dumber every time. So Anita Rose O'Hara, who is one of our favorite queens in Palm Springs, one of Eureka's drag daughters. She's a fabulous queen. Look her up. She comes with us on our outbound cruises.
We love her so much. We took her on one of our outbound cruises. Yeah.
Because
she's like a Eureka. She's multifaceted. She can do kind of everything. So it's nice to have those people. So thank you for passing that down.
Yeah. So, Eureka, we've been talking about all the things that are happening and how we're moving forward, but on Pridecast, we always like to take a look back at where we've come from so that way we can know how to move forward, and it helps us shine light on where we've been. So, James, what happened this week in gay history?
Well, hopefully I can get through this a little less clunky than that intro was, baby.
I mean, I don't know. I kind of had a brain fart in the middle of it, but just go with it.
I heard it,
read the history, babe.
Well, this one's got a lot of words to it, too, so I'm going to paraphrase myself.
My sugars.
Let's go back to 1928. This week in 1928.
Ooh. The year Anita Rose was born.
Baby, you don't leave that girl alone. Radcliffe Hall's The Well of Loneliness was the first major novel in English that was published with a pro-lesbian theme. Now, it actually had been published in Paris the previous July, but this was the first time it had happened in the States, and more than 20,000 copies of the book were purchased. It became a bestseller, and it actually, there they used the word sexual inversion at the time. That's what they used for gay. And in it, it's actually like positive that she finds this. And there's this explicit plea of give us the right to our existence. And think about it. Back then, 20,000 people bought this book. 1928, it's almost 100 years ago. And then look at where we are now with storytelling. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to look back and see one of the very first that happened.
Oh, that's nice. I like that story.
I love lesbians.
Everyone loves lesbians.
I love them.
I love them. We have so many lesbian moms in Palm Springs.
We have so many wonderful lesbians in our life. I seriously feel so grateful every time I think about it. Oh my God, our lesbian moms are coming on our Christmas cruise with us next week. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah. I love that.
Life is good.
Play the music. Each week we'd like to shine our big gay spotlight on people in the LGBTQ plus community that are doing extraordinary things. James, who are you shining your big gay spotlight on this week?
This week I'm shining my big gay spotlight on somebody. They don't need a spotlight because every time I see him on Instagram, there's a spotlight on him. If you've noticed, for the first time, the Boston Celtics have selected men to be on their dance team this season. So you had to have, if you've seen any of their dances, definitely notice Patrick Oprin. I think I'm saying his last name right. It's either Oprin or Oprin. Either way, this dude is a star. He's out on that dance floor and he is absolutely killing it. And I think about it again, think about us being younger and looking out and seeing this. To know, I used to love them dance teams. I used to love it. And to see a guy out there doing it and know that I could have been a part of that, and to see how well Patrick is doing this, I mean, he is shining, shining, shining. And not only there, but I look on his Instagram all the time and he's choreographing all this different stuff, like really great choreography. So Patrick, big gay spotlight on you this week, buddy. Congrats on everything.
Congrats.
Eureka, anybody in your life you'd love to shine a big LGBTQ plus spotlight on?
Yes, I would love to shine a big LGBT spotlight on my drag sister, Faitriana Evans. She just moved to Vegas to better her life, and she's a beautiful Black trans woman. I've known her for many, many years, and she's really working so hard to just put herself and set herself up into a better place. And I just think that is so heroic and magical, especially in our time. And she's been for a lot in East Tennessee, and I can't wait to see what she brings to the world with her fresh start.
I love it. Drop her Instagram so I can follow her.
Honey, @Evans_Faitriana.
Hey.
Faitriana.
I'm excited to get to Vegas and see all y'all perform.
I know. We can't wait to come see you in the show, RuPaul's Drag Race Live. Eureka is in Vegas right now. Go see it. Eureka, thank you so much for joining us. You have so much stuff going on. Everyone go to Eureka's Instagram. You can catch up on everything she's doing.
I love you guys so much. Thank you,
Eureka,
for having me.
We love you. You're a superstar. Keep shining, baby.
You too.
All right.
Let's
live
together. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.